Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the studio on this very early Saturday morning is Patricia Green. And Patricia Green is with the Patricia Green Group. Patricia, how are you this morning?
I am excellent, Fran, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, if we were talking before we started officially about the passage of time and relationships, and it's really wonderful that with all of these years, we're still in touch and able to share information with each other and add value to the greater community. So thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Well, Patricia, one of the things that is, you have a very intriguing background, and one of the things that's intriguing is you were initially trained in one area, and then as a result of being in the work world, you got some additional degrees and training, and then that allowed you to sort of be in the business that you are right now. So I was hoping that you would take the listeners back to share what was the significant story behind you being the entrepreneur that you are today.
Well, I've always been defined as a creative person, an out-of-the-box thinker, and in a workplace that can be good and bad. There can be some who like
right.
to hear to group think, and coming out with new ideas to solve problems can be sometimes, unfortunately, a bit of a threat. However, I did have the fortune in my workplace more years than I can remember. I was in my early 20s. I worked at a college, and I had studied social work with a concentration in community organization and social planning. So I was hired to direct studies and to teach CO courses as well as a CO seminar, community organization seminar, urban studies seminar. That said, I had a chance to place students in practicums that work in areas where the job place was concerned about ways to engage in social change in communities and to look at all of the different kinds of stakeholder audiences who influence that change. What I found in most of these communities were poor and or African-American and or disparate populations. I found there were some good stories in those communities that begged to be told, but of course the members did not know how to use the systems of communications to advocate on their behalf. So as I was working with the students and getting feedback, I was also saying, I need another degree. I need something that helps me to get the media gatekeepers to learn about these unique stories that go beyond what we see on the 11 o'clock news of compelling people who are trying to make a difference in their communities. And I did some research, and I found that American University in Washington, D.C. offered one of the first masters in PR under the School of Business. And it was part-time, so it worked for me. So I relocated from Richmond, where I was living, working, to D.C., and I worked for the National Council of Negro Women, which in itself gave me a lot of skills with respect to PR and community engagement. And by night, I got my master's in PR. So my unique differentiator is that I integrate the tools of PR and social work, community organization and planning, which involves a great deal of relationship building, connectivity, to build awareness of the products, the services, the issues of client populations.
And that is so powerful when you talk about relationships and the combining PR and social work as a differentiator. So many people today, I guess with because of technology, kind of feel like, well, if I tweet once, then I should have 200 followers and that publicity is very easy. And your relationships and research are so important for helping things happen. Can you talk a little bit more about how you use that in your business?
Sure. And I always say public recognition doesn't just happen. It's planned meticulously. So embodied in that is the research. Embodied in that is the defining the target audience. Then, of course, the systems of communications that they trust that they are engaged in. And so I do all of that. I thread all of that together, if you will. And what you find, there are subgroups, of course, main groups. Before I know it, I've amassed a huge database of people, not just domestically but globally, that you can segment into different kinds of areas that can be translated to business goals.
So
and
what I'm
very
also
often,
hearing...
Fran, yeah, go on.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say very often it's people don't understand what's going on here. Because, you know, but I say people do things for people, not for causes. John Adams, bless his soul, who's no longer here, told me that a long time. He was a businessman in Pittsburgh. And so when you say people do things for people, not for causes, embodied in that are the relationships. Very often we don't spend enough time to build and sustain the relationships.
Now that's so true. And from a business side, again, you are bringing in, as a business coach, something that I hear a lot, and it's the metrics. It's the actual measurement. So the research and the planning and the public relations, you know, happens because there are strategic goals set in the beginning. There's target marketing, and then there's measurement at the end. To see if there was a return on the investment of time.
Yeah.
Patricia, given that you do this, you've done this, and you get to do this internationally, can you share an exciting client experience or case study where someone has worked with you and it's really they've really had a successful outcome?
Yes, I can. There are many, but one in particular, which was short-term because sadly she died, definitely had a measurable return. Kanye West's mother, Dr. Donda West, was a friend in college. And she authored a book, Raising Kanye, and she was on a book tour, and her book publisher was sending her to Borders bookstores. She wanted to go into black-owned bookstores in black communities so that women in those communities could have access to her message. She recognized there could be all kinds of barriers for getting to Borders. And I met her after many years at a bookstore here in D.C., and it was a black-owned bookstore. And when we connected, when we were, of course, happy to see each other, there was no one in the bookstore but her and her assistant. And I said, "You're Kanye's mom. Why is this bookstore empty?" And then she went on to say that her publishers had not put any money behind outreach to black bookstores, and this was the result. And she was very upset. And so I told her what I did, and she said, "Oh, girl, I got to get in touch with you when Kanye and I get back from the UK. He's going to be doing the Princess Di tribute concert." I said, "The UK? I have friends there. Let me connect with my friends. Maybe if you're interested, you can do a signing while you're there." So she was interested. Mm. And I went into my UK network, and, of course, it took on a life of its own. And before we knew it, we had MTV Europe, who was sponsoring it, as well as several other groups. And her reception was going to be at Waterstones Bookstore. Waterstones Bookstore was going to buy the books from Borders and have them shipped to London. There were so many outreach vehicles for her to talk with targeted audiences, business people, women leaders, girls who were in programs for teen moms. she said, "Patricia, you have to go with me to London," because I had no idea. So that was
great.
Another story, just traveling with her and meeting Kanye and being backstage at the Princess Di and meeting all of the entertainers, if you will. And when we got back, she said, "Patricia, this all happened in early June." When we got back, she said, "Patricia, I'm having Kanye's first fundraiser in Chicago for his foundation, and I need your help. I want to put the person who's running it in another role and have you manage it." Now, I said June, and this event happened in August. Well, I went into high gear, if you will, networks, relationships, resources, and we had a very successful one-day event that culminated with a concert. So, again, I said, "Donda, you know, let's build on this book tour in London and its success, and let's do some book signing here in the U.S. And so we had an opportunity to do three. One, the last one was most important because it was at Virginia Union where we graduated in Richmond, and she had not gone back since graduation. So she had a full house. She was on the float for the parade. She was so excited. And we were on the path to getting a corporate sponsor to fund a tour, a nationwide tour of her book in the following year, which would have been 2008. And we all know what happened. But as an outgrowth of that, I had always through these years felt her story was not told. She was happy. She was beginning to establish her own brand in her own right. And it was happening. But yet, you know, there were so many stories that were focused on how she died, not how she lived. And so I was approached by ITV Studios in London last year. They were doing doing a documentary on her for their series Autopsy. And I was reluctant at first to be interviewed, but then when they assured me they did want to know how she lived, I did participate in the interview. And it gave just one more way to keep her story alive, even though she's not here. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to speaking on the amazing person she was, which is why he is who he is.
Oh, that's wonderful. Patricia, that is a fabulous story. And again, it echoes, I used to say there were three R's of business: relationships, results, and revenue. And from a business coach standpoint, the emphasis is that revenue doesn't happen unless you have the relationships and you prove that you can deliver. What I'm hearing is relationships, I'm hearing research, I'm hearing resources, and just a real richness that allows you to understand your client, to literally go into your network and pull together the platform that allows them to shine and create a brand, which is very, very, very exciting. Given the scope of work that you've done and the opportunities like having, like working with Kanye West's mother and large corporations and entrepreneurs, what's a favorite quote or series of quotes that motivate you as you are powering through challenges and really excelling at opportunities?
Well, I always say leadership is a journey inward. And, you know, we are so other-directed very often. We don't quiet ourselves to really reflect on who we are, which takes some careful inward thought, meditative almost. And so I follow that. I also follow passion and purpose. I mean, I'm an artist by background, and I think it shows through the unique twist. And there is an artist in all of us. There is a leader in all of us. I also say I get up and I bake bread, because when you are entrepreneurial, that's what you have to do. You have to get up every morning and bake some bread.
I haven't heard that before.
You have to bake the bread, or you don't make the bread. You make the bread to bake the bread. And then, you know, custom business is cool now with the advent of technology. I also implore people to really use their technology in a way that builds and sustains relationships, not for profit. Don't have profit as your motive. The money will come, but if you don't build the relationship and make the party think you're doing this for them and not for self, you're not going to keep the relationship. So I've given you several
things. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I've given you several things that I ascribe to that has worked. They have all worked for me.
And I love how you're sharing the perspective and then the connection to the working for you, because I was going to ask, given that, and I love that opening comment, that leadership is really about the inward journey and or includes
yes.
the inward journey and the importance mm-hmm. of quiet and meditation. Given that what you do is often very outward focused, you know, trying to get someone's message out, trying to draw people in, the right people, and make the connections, what's a piece of advice that you have for entrepreneurs who may want to do work with an individual like yourself? What can they do there to be in the right spot to work with someone like the Patricia Green Group?
Mm-hmm. Have an open mind.
Mm.
Realize that you're bringing something. We all bring something to the table that is uniquely different. And we are not in competition, if you will. No matter what we're bringing, it's going to enhance on the whole. You know the importance of engagement, shifting the paradigm from the old cog-in-the-wheel approach to management to one that is more inclusive, more diverse, more interrelated, if you will, across differences.
Mm-hmm.
So I engage across platforms, if you will. You know, anthropologists can add a lot to business culture, if you will. And you find if we all come together with our own talents, we can make amazing things happen. Of course, someone has to facilitate all of that talent and energy so that you get
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
the focus on the goal. But at the mm-hmm. heart of it, it's about really respecting the differences that we all bring. So I welcome anyone who is passionate about what he or she does and who can contribute to what is in the best interest of the clients we serve.
Mm, wow. Well, Patricia, how can people get in touch with you? What is the best way? I imagine, given social media, there's lots of ways they can get in touch with you.
Yes, either through my website, www.patriciagreengroup.com, or my number, 301-526-1089. I'm on Facebook at Patricia Green. I'm on Twitter at Connect Cultures. Let me think. I'm on, of course, LinkedIn. So email patriciagreen1212@gmail.com. So those are some of the ways.
Excellent. And I did want to ask, now that you're mentioning your Twitter handle, how did you come up with that Twitter handle as opposed to Patricia Green Group?
Well, because that's what I do. I connect mm-hmm. cultures. I mean, you know, it's really my brand. I struggled. My Patricia Green Group is an outgrowth of my former company, IC Linkages. My advisor, my young millennium advisor, told me I should evolve into using my name as my brand because I am my name. My name is what I do, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I was very reluctant to use my name, thinking, oh, that's so egocentric, but now I understand what she was saying. However, the connecting mm-hmm. of cultures is what Patricia Green does. That's what she does.
And I love that you said that. because I definitely want our audience to hear that, the connecting of cultures from the artist, the creativity, the social work, the compassion for communities and helping people give voice, and the tactical and practical and strategic skills of public relations, all in this international format to really help connect cultures. Very powerful work.
Do I have 1 minute?
Absolutely. You've got it.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I got to get this in. So as you were talking, I was thinking of how I got involved in the Middle East, and that I spoke at a conference for businesswomen from the Middle East and North Africa that was held at the World Bank, and I connected with a woman who had a PR firm in Palestine, and she now has a publication, Middle East Business News. Amal is her name, and I have been able, as her U.S. correspondent, to connect people here with what's going on among women business persons in the Middle East. I mean, it's just amazing with technology. You know, I'm on Skype. It's just amazing what you can do to have this level of connectivity. But it started with being at a conference at the World Bank, speaking there, but seizing the opportunity to bridge build with these women there. And as a result of that, I'm also speaking in Dubai next February through a connectivity that I made in London at an event in 2007 where I met Ronay. And Ronay is a businesswoman based in Paris, but basically global. And she does the summits in the Middle East. And I've been invited to speak on PR in the new age of social media, tips for building your brand. So I'm going to come back with more connections for sure.
That is wonderful, and I think it also speaks to, when you say 2007 and going to conferences, relationships take time. You nurture them. You grow them. You respect the differences, and over time, these opportunities evolve that literally, in your case, take you to places that you haven't been before. So congratulations
on
being part of a conference in Dubai in February 2017. Wow,
yes.
10 years later.
From a relationship, built in 2007, exactly.
That's wonderful. Well, Patricia, as always, right, as always happens, the time move so quickly. And again, it's really been wonderful to have a chance to chat and share our conversation with other entrepreneurs who have their own significant stories, and some of whom may be thinking about doing business internationally, maybe wondering, should I go to that conference? Am I too tired? Is it worth it? Part of what I think your stories have shared is that if you go with, as you said, an open mind, a sense of engagement, and the ability to respect differences, you can create relationships that can literally blossom over time into wonderful opportunities. So thanks again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I would encourage our listeners to contact Patricia Green at the Patricia Green Group. And you can find her on the web, you can find her on Skype, you can find her on Twitter at Connect Culture. And again, thank you for listening and being part of Significant Business Results Radio.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.